You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
The scripture reading will be in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 through 20. Philippians 4, 8 through 20.
Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, of which you were also mindful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am in this to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did share with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And may the Lord continue as he adds his blessing to this, the reading of his holy word. Through Christ we pray.
Father God, again, we, as much as we can, we want to realize experimentally this morning our affection toward you and the privilege that we have here with such a liberty that nobody's embarrassed when somebody makes a mistake. And you alone know how many are made. We thank you, though, that there are those who fill the gap when someone needs to have it filled, and always with a ready mind and heart. We're reminded, as in our lesson will proceed in a minute, of your faithfulness this past year as well as other years, how those who do things energized of your spirit, not because that's their obligation, but because they desire to show forth your grace in their appreciation of things. And so in that spirit of worship this morning, we pray that you cleanse us and sanctify us, that we may be a vessel that will truly honor your great Son to show our appreciation, that you in turn, in your gracious way, will give us a double blessing this morning, as not only honoring your Son, but to rebuke the evil one in such a way that he'll not be able to interfere. And I want to thank you for tending each little thing that'll be needful, that your purpose will be accomplished here this morning, right now, and right here. And this because we ask these graces in the name and thank you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. I thought it only fitting, as we come to the conclusion of another year, that we pause to meditate a little bit this morning and to think toward the future. What a bright future we have in this gloomy old world. Did you know that you have been selected, and not by an afterthought, but by God's gracious sovereignty before the ages, before the overthrow of this monetary planet that we're on? That staggers my mind, where I'd understand what it says, and yet I don't understand it either. And I look around and see what I'm looking at here, and consider my own self, it makes it even more unbelievable. But I like what Paul says in our lesson today. Finally, brethren, he's always the finalizing. He never gets the finalizing. He's always got something else to say. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true. Let me stop and emphasize a little bit on that word true. We mentioned it on the radio yesterday. That there are three things always keep in the forefront of your mind. Our Lord referred to them the night before he was crucified, when he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If anybody comes to you with any other truth that he is not the way, only way, dismiss him immediately. Because he is a liar, as the father of the liar, or carrying on the work of the father of the liar, and needs to be told so. Our Lord, in dealing with those people who make lies their way of life in teaching others, need to be rebuked. We come in a world and a time when everything is compromise and let's negotiate and all this. There are some things that we cannot negotiate, and here are three of them. He is the way. That's it, settles it. That's the question. He is the truth, and here's the high mark of it all. It's wonderful to talk about God's love, and it's been demonstrated to us every day in every way. But the real goal is truth. Love is only a part of truth. You see, a man that loves truth and go to any end to find it, cross the ocean, or wherever you can find it, if it conforms to what's in this book, you've got a gold prize. I don't care who it is. And last but not least, of course, without him, there isn't anything. He is the life. He's the source of your breath. All things consist, are held together by him. And so, as we close out this year, let us think about these things here. See, as he puts it, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. How our life would be so changed if that was the things that occupy our mind. And yet, in spite of the fact that we pay so little attention to those high marks, God in his grace puts it all under the blood. He keeps on cleansing every minute, every second of your life. See, it isn't that God has just shown his love at Calvary, which is, of course, the high mark, but he's still demonstrating it by covering, not covering up, but taking away everything under the blood every day. There's a little pamphlet out front there called The Mind Under the Blood. If you've never read it, pick one up before you leave. In any case, Paul says he desires fruit in the life of a saint. Now, we always, and in this context, he's talking about material things, but there's much more to giving than material things. I think of individuals in this church who do things nobody else knows much about. And he's not doing it to satisfy me, or because I don't even know he does it after he's seen it done. Or anybody else, he just does it because it needs to be done. And the Lord evidently energized him to that end. God wants your heart. That's the main thing. And if your heart is his, then the things that we refer to in a materialistic way are second import, actually. They only manifest what's in your heart. And the lesson that Ben read in verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I want to dwell on that verse just a little bit. Mind you, your need is what he's talking about. Not your wants, but your need. But even there, notice, his needs, your needs are dealt with, not in a skimpy way, but according to the riches of his glory. And I've made mention, I'm sure you've heard it, this word riches is a plutocrat. I think most of you know what a plutocrat is. A plutocrat is just not a rich person. He is rich of the super rich. And he is rich in his way of doing things. And so he does not go beyond your needs necessarily, but in giving you your needs, he gives it in an abundant way. I'm no richer this year than I was last year, materially. But boy, I've had everything I need and beyond for the year past. It was not skimpy. And you as an agency supplied that need. In some way, in some small way, I want you to know this morning that I do appreciate it. Because if I want something, I go get it. I live comfortably. I don't worry about tomorrow, because I know him who holds tomorrow. And therefore, at the end of the year, I'm never any richer than I was before, but no poorer either. I stay on an even keel. And this is what God means by supplying your needs to that man who's really living day by day to that end. Not only in the material aspect of life, but in the mental aspect of life. Your needs, God will meet. And he'll not do it in a shabby way. He'll do it abundantly, but according to your need, not because you want something, because, man, if everything I entered in my mind that I want, that be a list from here to yonder. I found a little article here, though, that I thought was real good, and must be an awful thing to pray to God and not to get an answer. And this comments on this about prayer, and I thought it was so apropos, I brought it along. In 1 John 3:22, and I'll just read it to you. Whatsoever you ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are well-pleasing in his sight. Because we do those things well-pleasing in his sight. If there's any degree of unfaithfulness or disobedience, can we expect to receive him and have abundant answers to our prayer? Obviously, we can't. Occasionally, God in his grace overrules and gives us what we ask for. James, in his fourth epistle, the fourth chapter, says, you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Not to the glory of God, it's for the lust of the flesh. And God sometimes even answers here, like he asked the children of Israel when they complained because they had no meat. I'll give you meat. You'll eat it till you vomit it. He sent them quail, waist deep, 2 miles completely around, and deep, completely around the camp. And for 30 days they feasted on the finest, delicate food that there is. You know, America and the rest of the world don't realize it. But you know the finest, most delicate meat there is, God says, is a quail. It's angel's food. Because you're not angels, that's the problem. Anyway, yes, he does. He gives you your wants sometimes. But it'll make you sicker than a dog. You'll overdo it. See, he knows us better than we do. Another thing is that a lot of people are disappointed because their prayer is undispensational. Now that's blowing our horn, you see. We ought to know exactly so much in detail the sacred secret that's been given to us for our trust, and looking at the practical side of it, be very well. It's wonderful. We all read about the wonderful thing in the doctrinal position of our calling and what God has provided for us in the heavens, and they're all in the heavenly blessings. But we don't put the emphasis sometimes on the practical side of it, what God expects of those who've been called into that field. And therefore, we sometimes run astray and look at what they call practical things in prayer that are not dispensationally true today. And we get disappointed. To a person who does not understand the dispensation setting of our day, they must be really frustrated when they pray. Because when they do have a prayer answered, they build a great testimony around it. It ought to be the testimony of their life that every day and every way God is showing forth his grace. Not on special events. But again, we do not walk sometimes according to our standing. We walk according to our state of being. And that's in trouble. As you look back on the last year, though, think about that for a minute. The impossible situations that you've gotten yourself into, God didn't get you into them, you got into them yourself. We forgot that God is no respecter of persons. Just because you've been very busy about the things of God, maybe you're too busy. When Miller, I talked to a young man in our about was working his head off trying to get along, and I know he needed it financially, and it made good sense. But beloved, when you don't follow the priorities that God has set down, you don't gain anything by it. Your money bags will have holes in the bottom of them; they won't work. If it does work, you better look at yourself, because something's wrong somewhere. But God will supply in a plutocratic way your needs. Don't forget that. He'll do that. And he knows what they are better than you do. When you pray, the preceding verses of when Paul says, "Finally, brethren, if you want a pattern to pray by, you've got it spelled out to the every odd dot and T." And that's in chapter 4, too. I touched on this once before here, but I want to repeat it so that you get in your mind straight. There were some problems at Philippi between two ladies. Of course, you know, we never had any problem like that here. But they did have. I say that with tongue in cheek. But these ladies were valuable to the work. And so Paul says, "You, verse 3, I entreat you that you help these women." And then he said, don't be discouraged by this, but rather what? Verse 4, rejoice. Here's an opportunity that God has allowed to arise to arrest a need that needs to be corrected, and it's a personality thing. Rejoice when this comes up. You meet such a situation. There's a lot of people, you know, kind of rub you the wrong way sometimes. And we should rejoice at that. Here's an opportunity to see the graciousness of God operate when we really mean it. When he's, notice, again I say, rejoice. Why? Because the Lord is standing by. He's right there watching the whole procedure. He's ready to do something. And, you know, when you have these personality clashes, you're kind of anxious about it. You want to get the thing out of the way, and you don't know how to do it. And this is what he said, don't be anxious. That's what be careful for nothing means. Don't be anxious about this. But just sit down and talk it over to the Lord, the whole situation, from your vantage point, which is always a little bit one-sided, you know what I mean? Sometimes a lady calls me because she's having a little trouble at home or like that, or a man says, talk to me. But you know, when you get them together, talk to them both together, you get two different pictures of the thing, you know what I mean? And always when you're offended, you're absolutely in the right, you know. No question about that. But when you're not anxious about it, and you realize the Lord stands by as an umpire, and if you know baseball, you know how strong an umpire is. He calls them as he sees them. And he's usually right. Not always, but sometimes. Particularly if he's calling on for your home team, he calls us their rightest. But in everything, after you talk it over, consider now it all, quietly waiting on him. He's allowed this to happen because you're not able to take care of the situation in the first place. This is, of course, an extreme case, these two ladies. That may sound like a minor problem, but it can explode, I'll tell you. And concerning an assembly, it could really wreck it. In fact, we saw it happen in the early time of our beginning here. It really wrecked us. Because of a man who lives now out in Odessa, Texas, preached a sermon and offended the whole body. He liked to store us to pieces. You know, because, you see, we were right. And they were wrong. It isn't always that. It never is that way. There's always two sides to it. But this is a basic prayer that every saint in this dispensation can pray dispensationally. In other words, if when you have come to the hard place, when you've come to the end of your tether, in other words, you just can't cut it. Pardon that blithe expression, but there's just no way around. That's the time to come and really sit down and talk to the Lord about this thing. Because you know you're right. And when you do this, laying it all in line, he already knows all this, but he wants you to talk to him about it. You can apply this pattern anything you run into. And you know you're going to be on safe ground. And you know that God's going to listen. Because he's looking at your heart. You come because There's just no way around it. And that's a hard place, rock and a hard place. There's no way to go. And something's got to give. And it sure ain't going to be me. You see? He said, at that time, that God will intervene. Incidentally, I want to talk to you one of these days about the word intervention. That's our blessed hope. Nobody talks about it from that vantage point. They're always talking about him coming down in the bodily presence. And he can come and intervene bodily presence too, but he don't have to. We're going to talk one day about that to you, about God's great intervention on our behalf. And this is such a time here. It's at that point in time when you laid it all out and God opened it up and said, this is what it is. It's at that time that God will do the miraculous. You want to see a miracle? We had a stamp this morning in the class about you want to have a miracle, I believe, or something. Huh? Expect a miracle. Well, this you can really expect here. You can expect something, even though this is a time of grace, because when you lay it all out before him, this is the one thing that you get, and you can put it in the bank. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind. That word keep means to guard it. Put a garrison around it. It isn't the answer you're looking for, but it's the right answer. And we can have peace and tranquility when the storm's at its height. You've got everything in the world. Everything. And God's promised you that. And he won't do it, notice, in a beggarly way, but he'll do it with an emphasis upon it. And you can count on that. If you come and say, I want a Cadillac, or I want a big house, or I want to be the boss, or one of these things, he may, in the case of the man who asked for a Cadillac, give him a Ford. He may, you know, because that's all he can stand. See, most of us Christians can't stand prosperity. You think you can? I know I can. So I just get my needs, but I always have them, you see. And so the thing that just is no way, there's just no way you can handle it. That's the time that God wants to show himself. This is a real miracle because you can stand and have peace about it. And not only have peace about it, but know that God has garrisoned your heart so that nothing can disturb that peace. It's yours. And no man can rob you of that. That's a miracle. In the year ahead, they're going to face, all things are becoming new again, so to speak. We're not going to make a lot of resolutions, but we're going to look to those things that are true, that are honest, pure, and to think on those things. And that isn't something you're just going to commit yourself, say, I'm going to do that. That's something you need to pray about when you face the day. Lord, today, help me to be true to myself and to you. Lord, help me to be just in my dealing. Lord, let my action, my motive be pure. Boy, those are testing things, you know. How can I do that, face that person? Or how can I get what my family needs with all this? Now that's when you really can trust God, you see. That's when he's standing by as a rock in the hard place. He's ready. The advertisement we hear quite frequently is true. Today is the beginning of the rest of your life. I don't know what I quoted exactly, but that's the gist of it. And that's yours too today. But you've got an underwritten guarantee, and not an Oklahoma guarantee, but a real guarantee, that he'll meet every need according to riches, his riches in glory. Now, you're a believer, are you? See? Every day is a brand new ball game, and it's a new race. And when you close that day, that race, in God's calendar, you've been qualified or disqualified. 365 days a year, that race goes on. Every morning it's new one. Because it's all under the blood, you see. That's why God's grace, see. It just keeps on giving you another time to run. You have to run the race, though, how? According to the course he puts you in. Where you are is where God wants the race to begin, right there. You have all the need for that day. And abundantly, if you live that kind of a life. The book of Proverbs says, let's go back and look at that. Read it yourself, because you won't forget it then. Look at the word Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6. I think there it is right on the wall. You haven't got your Bible. I trust the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall not direct, cut your path. It's the same word, rightly divide. That's the same identical word. You cut your path every day. If you can't make a living in the physical world in 6 days, you have to work 7 days to make a living. Then you become a workaholic. And you're out of the will of God. I can say that truthfully. Think about that. You become a workaholic. I believe that's worse than a drunk. Because he isn't any good to anybody. He can't fellowship with anybody. You're busy all the time. You're too busy. You get so busy that you can't take care of those in 6 days. Because while it's a legal law in God's system, it's a law that works. Even if you're a believer or unbeliever, you just shorten things. Perhaps that's the mercy he does sometimes. And you'll never have anything. Even if you gain the whole world, you'll lose your soul. Remember that in life. If you have to be so busy that you can't take time to rest one day a week, you're just too busy. And if you're a saint, that one day it needs to be given over to the Lord. Whatsoever you do, do it all in your might. For who? For him. Now that's not a legal requirement at all. That's just a fact of life. You want to get the most out of life. You see, when we meet here on Sunday, this little time we have together, we don't always realize this, but we draw strength from each other. When somebody, I know it better than anybody, when somebody doesn't show up here, and I know they ought to be here, because I know most of where people you are over the weekend, the ministry suffers. I realize there's times when you need to be away on Sunday. And I'm not rebuking you for that. I'm telling you because God knows those times. But when it's possible for you to be here, and you ought to be here, and nothing hinders you, even if you want to sleep a little late, you shouldn't do that. We need you, and you need us. God knows we're small enough. And we don't have much to draw on from other people. And I don't say this in a boasting way, but a very grateful way. The world doesn't have that. They have to depend upon games and other things, fellowship. And there's nothing wrong with games. But there is something wrong when it becomes just that's your whole way of life. I think of all the things I enjoy in my old age is a good football game, but I've noticed lately that I've become addicted to it in such a way it's become idolatry, and that's bad. Okay. Same thing as people who on the golf course go out on a Sunday morning and play golf to settle their nerves or something like that when they ought to be here to get their nerves settled. But we don't have what they want to hear. And so if you're having a big church, you get something. They got something for everybody. We just have one thing here. That's the Word of God and the fellowship it brings among those who love it. As to your giving in the financial way, the only way you can give that will be acceptable to God anyhow, no matter little or lot, it must come from the heart because you have a pleasure in doing it. You have a time to share with God in that harvest. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need it at all. He needs you. That's what he wants. And our material possessions give a reflection sometime of how we feel about people. That's all. God does not require it of us. See, you know, the Jews, they didn't have any choice in the matter. They didn't give a tithe. They paid a tithe. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I'm not limited this to dollars and cents, mind you. I'm limited to your time and your presence. You wouldn't realize that you were missed. But I notice it. And I'm telling you, there are people in this audience, when you don't show up, notice it too. Not in the condemnation way, but your presence. You see, we're all family. You ought to have the same spirit as when the family is together at Thanksgiving. And if somebody lives 1,000 miles away and doesn't show up, they don't think about the distance. He's a part of his family, ought to be there. And that's exactly what we have here. And we ought to rejoice in that. Because the little patches of families of our kind are few and far between. Ought to be real grateful as we face this old year. We don't have any extremely wealthy people here. But we don't have anybody that's down on welfare, as far as I know. If they do, we want to help them too. But our main drive in life is to take care of our own. As Paul said, a man that doesn't take care of his own, and I know he's talking about widows there, but it's not just limited to widows, it's everything. A man that doesn't take care of his own is worse than an infidel. We need each other, brethren. You see, it's no problem if you really believe that, to realize that every effort you should get toward those that are yours in need is a contribution to your own self. What it is. You come right home. Chickens always come home to roost. So, in the year ahead, I know this has not been anything tremendous, but at the same time, there's some very basic pointers here that I pointed out to you this morning. When you pray, don't pray undispensational. It's important how you talk to God. Because if you pray in a dispensational way, He will recognize that you respect His way of doing things. He's not going to throw you in the dump just because you don't do it that way. But if you want the closeness of an appreciation, of what you do before God. And you'll know when you do something that's right before God, you just kind of build it up. And the problem you have to watch there, you get a little bit proud about it. But nevertheless, you know that you've done something that pleases God. And that's wonderful. When you lead a soul to the saving knowledge of Christ, you feel like an old rooster, get up and crow about it. You really got nothing to crow about at all. God just allowed you the privilege of being His instrument at that time. That's all. You ought to thank God for it. That's all. Nothing to be proud about. And when we begin to live as a family, we can fuss with each other and make a lot of mistakes. You don't get embarrassed. Ben up here made a million this morning. I never make one, but he did. But he wasn't embarrassed. But why? Because he felt at home. See, this is your home. You better learn that, because I tell you, the world does not love the grace of God. Now, not many of the ministerial world does, really. They talk about a gospel of grace, but what they're really talking about is a gospel of justice. They want you to get your just rewards. And beloved, if you get your just reward, you're in bad shape, I'll tell you. You see? I remember in the Army, during the war, many GIs used to come visit me one time. They're looking pretty bad. They got to look pretty bad sometimes. You know, I was talking about God. He said, why don't he do something about this war? You ought to kill them Germans off and we can go home, tend to our bets. I didn't put it that way, but that's what they meant. I said, man, do you really want God to deal with you justly? And he think about it. I said, I don't want him to deal me that way at all. I thank God for His grace. I'm sitting here this morning because of His grace. And you're sitting here the same way. We don't know what tomorrow holds. I know you all, some of you think you got one foot in the grave. I may have. But I may beat you. I may beat you all to pieces for sure with Susie. So anyhow, it isn't bothering me, I assure you. The only thing of it is, I do want to be a vessel in His hand whatever time I have. I'll never rust out, I promise you that. I may wear out, but I won't rust out. And I'll never retire. Even when I leave here, I'm just going to get a promotion, that's all. Move a little higher up in the rank. Well, I've talked enough. It's even 5 minutes over time. But I wanted to share these little thoughts with you as we close out this whole year, because however miserable you feel you've failed in the last year, the one ahead's a brand new one. Don't make any resolutions. Just start every day with what we talked about here. Lord, whatever's honest, whatever's just, whatever's pure, I ain't going to worry about my needs, because you already told me you take care of it like a plutocrat. If you don't do that, you're going to hurt worse than I am. God's got more to lose than you have. I'll never have to accuse Him of that. Father, thank You for the word and the fellowship. May the Holy Spirit now take this little time apart from things and burn it into our personalities, that we may walk well pleasing in Your sight. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.